grant us grace, Father, to know you.
Amen.
To know the one and true living God. I was once in sin in this world, Father. And all these brothers and sisters standing before you, Father. You know their life too. What sort of life they were living, Father. We were worshippers of idols. Perhaps, Lord, we feel that we don't need God. Maybe we're just atheists or free thinker. Careless about this life, careless about the hereafter, believing that, oh well, we live and we die and that's it. And so we live the life of sin, not knowing God. But you came, Father, searching out for us, seeking the Lordship on the mountains, down in the valley, on caves, O Lord. In this world of sin where we live, you came looking for us, Father, and you call us by name, and you give us the gospel of eternal life. You open our eyes to see that we need a Savior. Wretched man and woman that we are, Lord, and that we once were, Father, and you pay so much attention to our life, you care for us. And you take us out of this world, wash us, and make us clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. Let the Word of God also cleanse us, Lord, every day as we walk with you. As the Spirit leads us, we thank you, Lord, for all these years of our life in Christ Jesus. Lord, may it be that, Father, in all this past life that we live, that we are unfaithful or unfruitful in any way, forgive us, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Lord, we need your wisdom, Father. We need your guiding hands, Father, in this life as to how we should walk before you and what we should do for you. Yes. Lord, as your plan and your purpose unfold before us according to thy word, we know, Lord, you lead us, Father.
Yes.
Because, Lord, once we were blind, but now we see how precious the life of Christ in us is, O Lord.
Yes.
How precious is that life that you have given to us, Father, the life that is eternal, life that is righteous and holy before you, life that will never pass away. We know, Father, right now we're living that life. We know we're going to see you one of these days. We pray it will be soon, Father. And then we'll spend all eternity with our Father in heaven. And we thank you, Father, for your precious word that you've given us this time now as we approach it once again. Everything that we want to know, everything that you want us to know, rather, Lord, that you just reveal it to us, Father, a little at a time. And we know, Lord, it will be that we will come to that understanding, Father. We ask for your grace right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, be with us. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Today we're going to touch on the Battle of Gog and Magog that will take us over into the Great White Throne Judgment. All right? So right now, let us read Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 and 8. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now, when we look at this chart here, when we finish off with this millennium, or the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, as I said, during this period of 1,000 years of regeneration, all those that are allowed to enter into this period, the Bible gives us, you know, what we call an expression that they are called the sheep nation. Those whom God or Christ found them to be kind to his brethren, His brother will be the Jew as well as his brother the Christian, because we are still his brother. He is the firstborn among many brethren, as the Bible said. So a lot of people just think that it's only the Jew. It is not so. Not just those that are our kind, you know, like those in, during the period of the Second World War. Alright? But there are a lot of Jews today that have been mistreated by many people, many nations of people. But in the tribulation, just imagine the tribulation, when the Antichrist come upon the scene in the midst of the 70th week of Daniel, he will forbid the children of Israel to sacrifice, to do oblation. He will take it away and he'll sit in the temple of God and claim himself to be God. When that period of time starts, it will end only 3.5 years later, as you know. That 3.5 years, you know, in the Great Tribulation, or as the Bible identified in the book of Jeremiah, Jacob's trouble. And that's when Antichrist will go on and onslaught against the Jews. Many Jews will be killed. But there will be nations of people that will cover them when they run away from Israel and scatter all over the world. And those who are kind to this Jew, they will also be given life to go into the age of millennium. And even during the period of time, there will be Christians. And Christians who were not prepared for the rapture. They have not made themselves ready. So those that are left behind are those in the system, you know, and they will be running away, of course, in one way or another, from the Antichrist. They also might be kept safe by some nations of people. Now, and again, of course, when we say the word Christian, not every Christian are born again. There are a lot of Christians that are in name only. Remember this. You understand? Okay? And only those who really are true believers that are caught up in the rapture, they will have a spiritual body. Okay? But if they should die in the Great Tribulation, and then they're resurrected at the end of the Great Tribulation, then they will also be given spiritual body. But those who do not, and even though today not, let me tell you this very, that you may understand. Not everybody who call themselves Christian are really Christian. You know that, don't you? Yes. But if they should go into the tribulation, they know either they give their life up for death and have a glorified body, or if not, if they were to hide somewhere else, and many people would not bow down to the Pope, to the Antichrist, they will still run away somehow. And these will be people that will enter into the millennium. Do you understand that? And during the millennium, I mean, during the Great Tribulation period, when Antichrist sits in the temple, I want to tell you this, that there are a lot of people that wanted to die. And the Bible says that death will flee from them. Do you remember that? Okay, go to the book of Revelation chapter 9. And I just want to show you in case that you don't remember. Alright? Here in the book of Revelation chapter 9, that's when the fifth angel sounded, and there's three more, there are wolves, you know, the three wolves that come upon the earth. And the first one is when the Antichrist sits in the temple, and that's when it started all that killing. And in verse 6 he says that, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now so that is how terrible the Great Tribulation is. Alright. There will be faithful Christians and faithful Jews that were willing to die in the hands of the Antichrist. But there are a lot of them that fear death. They want to run, they want to run away from it. Or because of the war that comes upon the earth, and as well as the wrath of God coming upon the earth, many of them just want to find death. They don't want to live anymore. But neither do they believe in God. You know, neither do they want to die in the hands of the Antichrist. They want to commit suicide, they will not be able to. You understand what I'm saying? Have you ever sort of feared them in such a way that you feel that you want to die, but then yet you do not want to die? And there are people that want to commit suicide, they ever go up there in a high building, you know, and wanted to jump, but
they don't have the courage to jump.
You see.
But in that day when they want to jump, they just couldn't do it.
You know.
They can put a gun to their hand, kind of blow it out, they can't even pull the trigger.
You know.
So that is when this period of great tribulation comes upon the world. Not just the Antichrist going after God's people, but when God starts to have all these signs in the heavens, you know, when judgment comes upon the earth, that's all this trouble that comes upon the earth will really take a toll upon the people that remains upon this earth. So every one of us who know that you have eternal life, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, let us prepare ourselves for His coming. Alright, so now, when we look at this period of time now, after this age of regeneration of 1,000 years, as I said, when people enter into, when those natural men or women that, and children that enter into this period of 1,000 years, they have the original sin nature, they have the serpent nature in them. Okay? And that's when the Word of God starts coming out. Given up from the throne of Christ in Jerusalem throughout the whole world. And this is the Word of God that will dehydrate the people's life. So as the Word keeps coming forth, so he realized that the carnal nature will have to be dehydrated out and the Word of God will be increased in their life. But at the end of the 1,000 years, you know, when Satan, as the Bible here says, when 1,000 years expire, Satan shall be loosed out of season. Now during this whole period of 1,000 years, there's no tempters, no demons around. So there's no tempters. So people are not tempted. Okay, and even during this period, there are two great spirits that have been taken a hold by Christ and put into the lake of fire. And that is the beast and the false prophet. Remember? So that's why in this nation, in the rule of Christ for 1,000 years, he is known as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. All the other nations, there will be no nation upon this earth that the spirit of the false prophet and the spirit of the beast can ever form another system like what we see now. It won't. Because they have been cast into the lake of fire. And once you are cast into the lake of fire, that's it. You don't get out from there. You'll be burned out from there. Do you understand? So as far as we know, okay, after the tribulation is over, when Christ comes to fight in the days of the battle of Armageddon, and then he will judge the nation and set up his millennium rule, alright? We know then that the spirit of the beast and the prophet, they are cast into the lake of fire. So, only in that time, only two spirits, there's no living creature other than the beast, the spirit of the beast, and the spirit of the false prophet are in the lake of fire. Okay, there's no other angel that's there, it's only these two. Okay? And so now, after the 1,000 years is expired, Satan will be let loose. You are chained up. Remember, some Satan is chained up. Some angels are already chained up. Then they will let loose. Once this let loose, as the Bible said, they will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. The number of them is as the sand of the sea. Now, when you say Satan, Satan has his whole of angel with him. So when God chained up Satan, he chained up all those other spirits as well. So when the Bible mentions Satan or the devil, he is the leader. There is always a group that go with him. Right. So now what you are reading here, we have this confusion interpretation regarding this Gog and Magog, because we know that this is going to be a battle here. Right? Because he says, so to gather them together to battle. So why is this Gog and Magog? And because of this word Gog and Magog is written here in this chapter, they think that this battle is the same as the one in Ezekiel 38:39.
But Ezekiel 38, 39 is not. Ezekiel 38, 39 is to be fought before the rapture takes place. Look at the other chart. Alright. Here is what we have over this part. Here is the church age period. We are living in the last church age. Alright? Now, just before the rapture takes place, we believe that this Ezekiel 38, 39 battle will be fought around the time when the rapture is about to take place. The sinking of California, the earthquake, all this will happen so fast. Now remember this, that whenever there is a resurrection, there must always be an earthquake. You read in the Bible. So there must be a great earthquake. And Brother Bram prophesied that California will sink. So you just imagine that earthquake, tsunami will start, and, you know, earthquake will start from there perhaps and go all the way up to a ring of fire around the world, up north Alaska, down to the coast of Japan, you know, eastern part of China, all the way down to what we have over in the Philippines. Huh? Right? And down, of course, California, down to the side, of course, you would have to be Argentina, Bolivia, Chile, and all those places. You know, and as you even cross over to China, I mean, over China side, cross over to the Himalaya, over onto Turkey, to the European side. So there must be a chain of earthquake when a big one starts. And it will shake the whole earth. As the Bible said, God said, I will shake the whole earth. Once more, I will shake. You know. So this is one of the things we're looking for, that this earth is in travailing. Okay? So, that God and Magog, the battle of Ezekiel 38, 39, that's why we don't want to call it the battle of God and Magog. Just because Ezekiel also mentioned God and Magog. He's pointing to those in the north. Alright? Because the Bible in Ezekiel 38, 39 talk about two different places, two different cities. Let's just go away in case you... I want to really let you see the difference between Ezekiel 38, 39 and that of... This place here in Revelation 20. Chapter 38 here. And you see in Ezekiel chapter 38, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against them, against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. So now here we have responding to the land of Gog and Magog. Alright? But they mention here Meshach and Tubal, which of course today some people trace it to the city of the where the Muscovite lives, that is Moscow. Alright? Tubal is Tobruz. So in Revelation 20, look at how it is written. Thou shalt go out to deceive the nation, in verse 8, and shall go out to deceive the nation which are in the four quarters of the earth. Now, what is the four quarters of the earth? When you talk about the four quarters of the earth, you're talking about the whole earth. Some say the four quarter is meant to be the north, south, east, and west quarter. Huh? Or we just say four compass point. Right enough. So when you talk about the four quarters of the earth, it means the whole earth. And yet, Gog and Magog is not the whole earth. That's for sure. But what does the word Gog and Magog therefore symbolize? Gog is meant, when you use the word Gog, it used the word to represent the people. Alright? And Magog means the land of these Gogish people. And Gog is anti-God. Alright? And Magog is the land of people who are anti-God, or atheists, agnostic, people who are against God. So it's the symbol. That's why in Ezekiel 38, 39, it's pointing to the north, which of course we know is how the Russia, you know, the Soviet Union, defiled God when they sent the astronaut to the space. And they are communistic people, and they are against the Christian. So that's why the name is associated with that. People who are always against God.
So that's what it means by here. It means that the Satan is going out throughout the whole earth to gather a people that are godless. Just imagine that all the people that live in this time of the millennium, they have peace. There's no war, right? And they live peacefully hundreds of years, until perhaps they reach 1,000. And yet, I mean, what do we mean by godless? These people were living under the rule of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yet, at the end of it, when Satan is let loose to deceive, to persuade, to lie to them, to hoax them, and yet they will give themselves over, you know, to that lie. Because remember, these people who lived 1,000 years have never been tempted. When there's no tempter, you can't be tempted, can you? No. So when Satan is let loose, he will go throughout the whole world, and people still will be deceived. Just think about it, okay? So when you say Gog, how could it be Gog when these people live under a time of holiness? When there is peace and knowledge of the Word of God. When the whole world is particularly holy unto the Lord. Huh? I want you to think about it. So the word God means, he said that these people who have never literally been tested now, I say this, that every creature of God who wants to be a part of God's family, they must be tested. If you are not tested, you're not qualified. So God needs to test the angel. So God needs to test you. Test Adam. Test you. And even now, these people who live under the rule of Christ for 1,000 years, they still have to be tested. Even they have the Word of God. And that's why, brother and sister, you and I, we have the Word of God. And here, every day, the tempter is still around to tempt us to break this word. Is that right? You see, because it is. That's why we must put through fire to be refined, just like Abraham was put through fire. God wants to refine us. You see. And that's why we can sing the song, "It's Not an Easy Road," which is true. Right? So, okay. After they are, when the people were tempted, they were gathered together, as the Bible here says, to gather them to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now, as I said, that if the people that get into the population of sheep nation of people, that Christ give them life to go into the millennium for 1,000 years, let's assume that it's only 2.5 billion people. But by the time the 1,000 years has expired, the population must be huge then. After all, there's no death. Death only comes by judgment upon those who are rebellious. Isn't that true? Yes. So there must be a lot. The population must be big then. Everybody wants to have children there, you know. So what would the population be like in 1,000 years? Would it be 6 billion, 7 billion? I don't know, you know, that must be. You know. And mind you, there's no death. No death. The world today, we have passed through 6,000 years with wars and in many countries, civil rights, and people were killed every day, yeah? Okay? Either in an accident or in some aircraft accident or train accident or road accident. And then there is war in many countries, they die, and people die of disease, no food, famine, stuff like that. And the population today is nearly 7 billion. Or 7 billion. Now, what will happen in 1,000 years? Only 1,000, let's say 2 billion people get it. How what will be the population? And yet we have the Bible mentioning the number of whom is at the sand of the sea. That's a whole lot of people. And they will gather to battle against the Lord. Now, one thing you know, why is this Satan doing this? You know, Satan was Lucifer. He became the adversary of God.
He desired to be worshipped. Did he not? I want to be like God. I want to ascend into the star and be like God and be worshipped. So he wanted to be worshipped. And Satan, when he became, when he was judged, he became God's adversary. So he hated God's authority. Right. And so the only way for him to go against God is to deceive God's masterpiece. And you know that you are God's masterpiece. Huh? We are all created in the image of God. Christ is the masterpiece. We are masterpieces after the same image and likeness. So he hated God's people, so he has to get them and deceive them to rebel against God. Alright. Do you understand that? Okay. So just remember that the word God denotes that which is proud, because in Ezekiel it points to the north. Remember? Powerful. That's what it is. Okay? Large. Huge. So we say Gog. Gog means the people of, you know, that signify the number of people of the same land, of the same nature. Okay? Alright. Let's go to verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Doesn't look like much of a battle to me. Isn't it? You know, he says, you'd be asking, and compass the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. What is this? Where is the camp of the saints? Where is the beloved city? Now we know the beloved city is none other than Jerusalem. Right? Yes. So what do you mean by the camp of the saints? The camp of the saints means the people. When you say a camp, it's the, you know, and what we call like a group. You know? You are the camp of God right here. Huh? So the camp of the saints means wherever the saints are. And you know that God's saints will be scattered around the earth to rule with Christ. Isn't it so? And that's, I believe, we have a better understanding now. That if you are Singaporean, you must rule with Christ in Singapore. Agree with that? If you are a Filipino, and then you have to rule, of course, in your own land. And that's when the Satan and all his spirits are let loose. They will go around every place, every nation, all the four corners of the earth to deceive the people. And then they will try to attack the camp of God. But how foolish would that be? Because you know one thing for sure. When I look at this, there's one thing I'm sure. That when you are on earth ruling with Christ, remember, God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of order. You understand? Now, you may have a spiritual body. You agree with that? It doesn't mean you can play with it. Oh, I want to go to the war and see if I feel like, you know. And now it's like a little baby or some kid. I mean, you have a glorified body, but you will be on earth to rule with Christ. Just like Christ has a glorified body, he will be on earth as natural in appearance as the way it should be. Do you understand? Huh? Oh, just, you know, I always remember how that the brand of my understanding of things sometimes scares me. You know what they said about, you know, about the spoken word? Well, Brother Abraham said, you know, just he said, when the time will come, the brother will have a revival, and we'll have a spoken word, we'll just say the word. You know what I mean? Say the word. And I could bring forth squirrel. Another person will say, I'll bring forth a big old animal. So bring forth a dog. Another one will say, I'll bring forth a cow. And I'll bring forth an elephant. I'll bring forth a dinosaur. I'll speak the word. It is not, you see, that's why God knows that he cannot give gifts to everyone. Because a lot of people like to play with gifts. Just the little kids, when you get a toy, huh? You see that what I mean? In a family where you have a few children, and then the parents buy all of them toys and different ones, everyone open the one, they sort of compare and they play with each other, and mine is better this and that, you know? And so, gifts of God are not something that
you can mishandle. You don't be on earth with this spiritual body, you can just want to go through the war as you like, and you have a responsibility. Is that not true? You are the teacher, you have a responsibility. If you were an accountant, you have a responsibility. And if you are a policeman with a gun, you don't play with a gun. Like we have already some reports of how that the police play with gun and got themselves shot. You know. So there is always a responsibility with power that is given to you. You see. So if you judge an ordinary as good thing. And that's the reason why these people, they are deceived by Satan, think that they could attack the camp of God, the camp of saints. They've got to be kidding. But of course they don't realize that, you know what I mean, we were given the order, but we don't go and now do all kinds of things, because upon this earth itself, the natural people, I tell you this, they will live by the natural thing that is provided upon this earth. That's what the Bible said, out from the throne, out from that millennium city, the millennium temple, or city of Jerusalem. Remember the river that flows up? Yes. On both sides there were all lots of trees for the healing of the nation, for the health of the nation. Do you see? And practically there is no healing at all in that time, because there's no sickness, for that matter, for you to understand. That's not why when the regeneration takes place, you enter the first day into the 1,000 years. You continue perhaps to eat what you normally eat. But perhaps a year later, there must be some law changes. Do you understand? To take you away from cholesterol. Alright? From the nice smelling barbecue or the pork belly. Which of course many people smell, they love, smells nice. So these are the things which God is going to pull you away from eating meat and healthy foodstuff to going back to eating, to be a vegetarian. Because that's what God started with to Adam and Eve. Huh? The fruit trees, the herbs of the field is for your food. So that's what the law will be pulled back. Okay? All this bad thing will be pulled back, and God will issue out the eating of vegetables and fruits and herbs of the field. You know. But there will be no sickness, no death, practically. All the tree that happens to be grown upon the earth, as the water flows out from them, literally a healthy, sustaining food. The health sustaining food for everyone. You see. So that would be practically nothing for us in that millennium time to try to demonstrate that we have the ability to heal and things like that. It's not that. It's the law that comes up from the throne of Christ in Jerusalem. Do you see that? So we will be probably as very ordinary to them. That's why they could try to battle against the saints. And the Bible tells us, well, really not much of a battle, huh? Immediately the Bible said, and fire came down from God out of heaven and to devour them. Once that fire comes down, that's the end. The end of time. God has given mankind 6,000 years to rule among themselves. And the 7,000 years, the millennium, Christ rules over them. Is that right? And once this battle of Gog and Magog comes in, God turned on the fire and devour them. Where they stand. And that ends time. Time is particularly ended for mankind. Alright? Okay. Let's continue now. Go to verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. So now the devil is achieved, taken, and buried, thrown into the lake of fire. Go to the book of Matthew 25, verse 41. Here we can see that the lake of fire, hell is not made. Hell is not created of God for sinners. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall ye say unto them on the left hand side, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting, prepared for the devil and his angels. So hell was not created for sins to begin with. Do you understand what? Because when God first tested the angel, once the fall, God created that, prepared that for the angel. The purpose was prepare that lake of fire for the angels, not for mankind. Alright. Okay. And if you like to read 2 Peter 2:4. For if God spare not the angel that sin, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into the chain of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So there is a group of angels that are chained up, and then they will be cast later into hell. Which is, of course, here in this, you know, where we refer to a lake of fire, as we would like to look at it. Then we go to the book of Jude 6. And the angel which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he have reserved in everlasting chain unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Here, same thing again mentioned. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3. Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? So angels will have to be judged. And so that's one interesting factor to the Bible, as Paul would want you to know, that you are going to judge angels. Alright, once any creature that is thrown into the lake of fire, they'll be burned. They'll be burned out. They'll be annihilated. And we do not know how long it will be that a angel will be there to be burned. How many days, how many hours, how many weeks, how many years, we do not know. Because once you get out of this seventh millennium of time, time is no more. Time doesn't exist anymore. Okay? When the white throne, the white throne is set up, time doesn't exist anymore. You need to understand that. Alright, let's go to chapter, verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, once this Gog and Magog battle is over, I don't know how long it takes. It won't take a day, I guess. The fire coming down from heaven, burn out to play out. Okay. I don't know what the Bible said to battle, which is a word, but people have to call it battle of Gog and Magog, but I think they really confused that with Ezekiel 38:39. Okay, so there's not much of that battle anyway. Okay, and so Satan is taken and thrown into the lake of fire. So now the great white throne is set up. Okay? The great white throne is set up. And it says here, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, interesting description right here. Because this great white throne judgment, the one who sits on the great white throne, who sits on it? Who sits on it? Jesus Christ. He said God, and everybody just simply said God. Eh? The Bible says him to sit on. But when Christ sits on this, he will be in all his glory that he will never be seen before. When he comes to judge the nations, okay, he sits on the throne of David, right? You understand? Okay, that is called his throne of glory, okay, because that is what the children of the nation were looking for. But when the sky white throne is set up, everything will be clear all about His glory. And so much so that, you know, nobody actually could stand and look at His face. And even so, the Bible said the heaven and earth just fly away. Everything looks so small. Everything. Now, it just for a moment, let's say you have a car. You have a Nissan. Huh? What is a good car now? I don't know. I don't know about car anyway. I don't know how to sit in one. What is a good car?
Toyota.
A Toyota. Okay, you have a Toyota. Nice Toyota. You're proud of it, huh? Yeah, you're proud of it. So you park your car in a parking space there. There's no other car, there are a few other small cars. But then here comes a bunch of beautiful cars. Big, wonderful cars. BMW and Porsche or whatever come, and then they park near to you. And then you look at your car. You know what I mean? Your car, literally nobody wants to look at it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like that. You say, so whatever, you know, when you see Christ sitting in that great white throne, nothing else matters now. It's Him that you have to deal with now. You understand? You look at Him with all His glory, every creature that stands before Him, and that's the white throne judgment. They have to deal with Him. And that's the thing about it. You see, your life and my life is only worth the living because of Christ. Right? And whatever you have on this earth, in the future, in your death, in your resurrection, you don't have to worry about dealing with it. Because there is only one thing that you have to deal with, one person that you have to deal with, and that is Christ. Do you understand? That's why when you stand and draw, man, that's why I pity all those who follow Brother Branham to the extreme. Don't even know what he's teaching. The world said, Brother Branham said so, Brother Branham said so. He's God's prophet, whatever they said, I believe. They think that by holding to his tail code, they are saved. When they stand before God, they have no word to say that your prophet said so. They cannot point to him. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm talking about? You know, it is the word of God that every one of us have to reckon with. God will have to say, I have my word for you. What did you do with it? Huh? And you cannot blame anybody else. You cannot blame anyone and say, oh, because he stumbled me and I fell. No. You can't. Oh, Brother God being so strict, he made me angry. That's why I don't want to come to church. Oh yeah? It's all about the word. Yeah, I know Paul said don't be a stumbling block. I know that. You see. He's telling you not to be a stumbling block. But just because you fall, because someone will stumble you, you want to have an excuse? You won't get it. When you look into the face of Christ, everyone that stands there in this great white throne judgment, just to look at Christ, you know, nothing else matters now. Do you understand that? Okay, so heaven and earth fly away. But it trusts you to know that when this great white throne is set up, and all the dead in Christ will come out, what happened to this earth? We understand it must dissolve, as the Bible said. And a new heaven and new earth will be created. But let us go on with this. Now, this is a final judgment. There's no other judgment after this. Okay? The great white throne judgment is the final and the last judgment. There's no more else. Okay? And once this judgment is set up, this whole earth that we have, okay? I've written here the solution of the earth. The earth will literally be burned up. Not the earth in itself, but everything that's on this earth will be burned up. The trees, the plants, everything. The animals. Everything will be made here. No, I'm kidding you. The plant will not be burned up. Neither would the animal be killed or run out, burned off. But the things that man made they'll be destroyed. This earth will be totally made new. Now, so how is it possible? What about this nation of people? The people that, you know, were not deceived by Satan. They will still be on this earth. Do you understand? They will still be on this earth. Because the judgment, the great white throne judgment is only for the dead. Understand? All those that are alive, they passed through here, they are not deceived by Satan, will go into new heaven and new earth as natural people. They don't stand at the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment only for the dead. So they will be here on earth. The animals will still be here on earth. But when God sent a fire to burn out this earth, how is it that they will not be killed? You are asking me a good question. Have you heard about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Have you heard about it in the Bible? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And they were there in the fire. And the fire didn't even burn them. Why? Because there was someone else in there that holds back this fire from burning them. You understand that? Huh? Yes. And so, if God can prevent these people from being burned, so with the animals that are left behind, the plants that are there, the whole thing is put out that is pollution, cars, you know, all these vehicles that are left behind, man-made, houses will be burned out. Nothing man-made will be on this earth. God has to create, get rid of all this, and in so doing, the earth will be set back to its own axis. And that's one interesting thing. Alright, let's look at it over here. Now, if you remember, as I told you before, that the heaven and earth, I mean the sun and the earth, the earth spins on its axis, perpendicular to the earth, to the sun. So that when it goes around the sun, it doesn't wobble. And it will go around the sun 360 days a year. Because 360 degrees is a circle. We don't have odd numbers. Today our Earth travel around the sun 364 and a quarter days. 365 and a quarter days. Why? Because the Earth is tilted. So once the Earth is tilted, it spins, it wobbles. And that's why it slows down the revolution. Do you understand? So when God burns up this earth, what will happen to this water in the ocean? It will have to go up. Right? The water will have to go back up again to cover, to shrub this earth. And that's why in the future, the earth will have all even temperature. There will be no summer, no spring, no winter, no autumn. There will be no desert places. There will be no hot and too cold. The earth will have a nice even temperature all over the earth. Do you understand that? And what happened to the ocean? Ocean is gone. The ocean is gone. There's no more ocean. Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, the Indian Ocean, the Great Mediterranean Sea, there's no more. There'll be no more sea. Everything will go back. And all those water will go out and shrub the earth. So that you will have a greenhouse effect. And that was what happened in the days of Adam and Eve. But when the flood came, that's when all this water came down. And that's why they formed the ocean. That's why what happened? They are lopsided. Huh? Isn't it? So you understand this now. Okay, so how long will it take? It's your guess and my guess. Nobody knows how long it will take to burn this thing up. Right? God could do it as fast as he wants to, how long he wants to do it. For him to do it, he will do it. According to his own plan. Alright. Now let's go to Joel chapter 5, verse 22. Alright. John 5, Verse 22. For the Father judged no man, but have committed all judgment unto the Son. So, the one who sits on the throne is not God the Father. It's Christ Himself. Because God has committed all judgment unto the Son. Because all the fullness of God is invested in Him. That you need to understand. Okay? You understand? Because Christ is still the one. Until this is over, then Christ will be subjected to God. Alright. Let's go right now to 2 Peter. I want to show you this 2 Peter verse. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 7. Alright. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 7. And also verse 10 to 13. 2 Peter 3, 7. But the heavens and the earth verse 7, okay, sorry. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the great unto the against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 10 to 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. The works of men be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the great, unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelt righteousness. Okay, so the whole earth will be burnt out. All the works of man, not the works of God, eh? The work of God still remains. The element will be burnt out. Wait, what is the element? Huh? When you say element, what do you think of element? Is it like metal? Use anything that you can make and make use of to create. That'll be burnt out.
Man-made.
Alright, so you understand. Okay. For that, you understand now that it's good that we look at the great white throne judgment. Now, here is a good question I want to ask. When you look at the judgment, verse 12 now. Go to verse 12 and verse 13. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. These two verses, look carefully, if perhaps you want to underline. First, verse 12. And the books were opened. Books. Here is a plural word here. Books were opened. And then another book, singular, was opened. And this singular book is called the Book of Life. And everyone, every day, all the day, were judged according to what was written in the books, according to their work. Okay? So these books are books of works. The books that record the works of every individual that will stand out there and the great white throne judgment. Okay? Then verse 30 says, the Savior of the day. If you are buried at the sea, if you are a sailor, they all come up from the sea. Huh? And the earth give up the dead, so everyone will have to stand up. The Bible talks about the dead, huh? Those that have yet to come up. Okay? And we know the Bible says that the dead must not rise up until after the 1,000 years is over. Then all will come up. Right? So if you don't make the rapture, you have to come up here. You understand? Unless you give your life up in the tribulation, then you come up as the tribulation saints. Otherwise, you have to come up here. See? Okay. After the desolation of this earth, after this millennium is over, this great white throne is set up. This is called the second resurrection. Now, this is the church age. The church age. So we know that when Christ died, after 3 days he resurrected, right? After 3 days he resurrected, the Bible said that there was an earthquake and Old Testament saints came up. And some went into the city of Jerusalem to be a witness. Was seen by many, those who saw them are believers or followers of Christ. Do you understand? That is the first phase of the resurrection. Of the first resurrection. Then there is the second phase, which will be the rapture that we know is going to happen just before the tribulation starts, or just before the 70th week of Daniel. Okay? Then after that, there is a third phase, which will be after the great tribulation, which is the tribulation scene comes up. So the first resurrection composed of three phases. The first one was when Christ rose, Old Testament scene came up. The second phase, is when those living saints who is waiting for the coming of Christ. And then the third phase is those that were killed in the great tribulation and they came out in the third phase. Now these three phases are the first resurrection. I just called it the first resurrection. But here, this resurrection here, at the great white throne judgment, there's only one phase. Only one. And it's called the second resurrection. Okay? So there are two resurrections that we know. The first resurrection and the second resurrection. So what's so special about the first resurrection? Okay, there is one that I want you to know. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Okay, we read verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years wax were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So blessed are those who have part in the first resurrection. Because why? In the first resurrection they don't see that. But in the second resurrection, they will see that. Depends on whether, that will take life of those whose name has not written in the book of life. So everyone that come by the first resurrection, they all enter into life. But all those that comes up in the second resurrection, some of them may not have life. Most of them particularly have no life, except for the few whose name were found written in the book of life. So that's what the Bible is. That's what the Bible said this way. Blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power. Because in the second resurrection, death have power to take whosoever whose name is not in the book of life. Is that clear now? Okay? So, when you look at this, let us look at verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, this is an obvious fact that nobody can argue about. But there are people who just cannot see. This is a great white throne judgment. It has been taught for centuries in majority of the churches that everyone that resurrected up here in the great white throne judgment, everyone will die in the lake of fire. Everybody will cast into the lake of fire and be burned up. Okay? That's what I've been taught. But that's not true. Because what here the Bible mentioned this. If it's not true that this, that there are people that are given life, then something is wrong with the way the Bible is written. You agree with that? Now read again. Verse 14 and 15. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. Now you say that hell is where you keep the dead. Right? Death is, of course, when somebody died, he's dead, he's buried in hell, which is the hole in the ground. Okay, so death and hell will be taken and cast into the lake of fire and be burnt up. So therefore, there will be no death in the future and you don't need a grave. Do you get it? Okay? So this is what it means. Death and hell will cast into the fire to be permanent. Because in the future, there's no more death. You get it? Okay? It's cast into the lake of fire and burn up. That means any heritage, nothing else. You will not have any remembrance of them anymore. Okay? And this is the second death. And you know the word death. And that's why we have people who teach us that when you die, you go to hell. If you're not a Christian, you go to hell, you're burned forever and ever and ever and ever. You'll yell your head off every second, every microsecond. To no end. That's a very false teaching of many churches. Because the Bible said death. What is death? Death is the cessation of life. That's what's death. If you go down to hell and you cry and scream, that's not death. You're still alive. Screaming, oh, I'm dying, but I'm not dead, I'm dying. You know, that's kind of strange. So that's not why at this teaching about eternal hellfire that burn forever and ever is wrong. Because they don't understand the word eternal. Eternal is just a word means forever. Forever doesn't mean it is forever without ends. Huh? Correct. When a man said to Roman, I love you forever. When he died, there's no more. What? There's no more love? There's no more love, isn't it? You know? So that's just only an expression of a length of time. You see, it means aeon. Aeonus. Forever comes from the Greek word aeonus. Age, any. A period of time. How long? Nobody knows. Your forever can be 2 years, huh? Isn't it true? Yeah, your forever can be only 2 years. And somebody forever can be, well, there's some couples who married for, you know, 90 years are still alive, you know, they're healthy, both of them. They married and they have been loving forever for 70 years. You know. But forever is just a length of time. It means aeon, age, ending. It must come to an end. The only thing that is no ending is God. He's called an eternal God. Why is He eternal? Because He Himself is Zoe. In the Greek word means original life, self-existing. No beginning, no end. So anything that has a beginning must have an end. So hell was created for the, prepared for the angels, right? So it must have an end. Okay, you were born, you are born, so you must have an end. Right, so how do you get into eternal life? You have to come into the eternal circle of God. Do you understand? You have to come into the eternal circle of God's life. Then you don't have an end. Do you understand that? So now the thing is that, when the Bible said they are all judged according to the book, what was written in the book of life. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever, the word whosoever, was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So what happened if whosoever whose name was found written? He must have life, right? That's the word of these two sets of books. One, the book of life, the other one is the books of works. Of course, in heaven, you're not going to see God turning pages of books. Huh? No. It just means book is always a record. You know, it will play back to you and you've got to give an account of everything that you do in this life. Remember, this is the great white throne. Time is no more here because time for mankind is ended. We are all aware of time. The second, the minute, the hour, the days, the weeks, the month, the year, the century, whatever. Is that right? But once it ends, the white throne shut up, there is no time. And there will be millions and millions of people gathered out, one by one will be judged. There is no time. And don't tell me when you stand out there to be around the throne of God and see all these judgments, I'm dying, I need to go to sleep. Huh? The first one that came up, the 1 million came up, time is nothing. Because you're not in time. Do you understand? And as far as your spirit is concerned, you don't tell me that you yawn. No. Not that you will be yawning now, because you're tired. Do you understand that? Time ceases. So the question right now is that who are these people? Who are these people that whose name is written in the book of life? That is one thing I want you to understand. Because the Bible tells you that whosoever was found, not found written in the book of life, they are cast into the fire. There must be those whose name must be in the book of life. So when God judges them according to their work, let me give you an example right now, today. If I'm a good Methodist. Okay. But you tell me about the truth of the message. I don't say, that's nothing. Okay, there's nothing. I'm a good Methodist. I'm really practicing Methodist. You know, but I still baptize people with pouring of water, sometimes like the best per day, because now there are a lot of changes. Because it's easy. Don't tell me that God won't accept. God accept, you know what I mean? God knows my heart. That sort of thing. You know how they will give their excuse. You know? And then they allow the woman and how they dress. They don't care about preaching that. No, it's not that it comes to church, that's very important. So they have all their excuses, but they're not prepared, they don't care. So what happens if I should die now before the rapture comes? Do I command the rapture? Oh, I have people in that time that say they'll come in the rapture. Then my question is this. Why then did God have to send a message? A messenger with a message. Good question, huh? Why did God send John Wesley after the Lutheran failed? You know, Martin Luther came out with a message that changed the whole world. Because at that time the people that needed it, they need the gospel. That the church shall live by faith, not by finance. Right?
Sure.
Not by buying indulgences and pray that they can get to out of purgatory or their father and mother, whatever. Or their sin be forgiven. No! But Martin Luther was given the message. For that hour, the people need that one message alone. The just shall live by faith. Right? So when he preached that, the characters went against him. So what people follow, right? Sure, they are saved. Because the people see the message. You understand? They know it's no longer about doing good work and, you know, beat themselves and all of that thing, put nails on their own hand, maybe like the Filipino out there fanatics do. Right? You see? These are the people that was beat. I mean the bride. But after years passed by, when Luther passed away, the people still live the life that they live. They don't live a sanctified life. Do you understand? So God sent John the Baptist himself, tell them, not justification of the Lord, you need to live the life of holiness. Is that not true? That's true. You see, all Lutheran. You all see no Lutheran. There's still holy cigars in their hands, smoking. They're not preaching, they smoke. Because they think it's okay to smoke, you know. They all have all reason. And they live a rotten life. They cuss and they swear in the pub. So John Wesley, when God gave him the message, he was changed. And then he went out preaching this message. So the people, when they see the message, they're going to come out, yes, I realize now. Not just being saved, but the life must be lived. Oh? So, that's what the message is. So now you are telling me that God sent this message to get you prepared to see the truth. Get away from the Bible, give us a warning. Come out of her, my people. Right? So you think that's not important? Denominations stand where now the Bible says the kids are unclean birds. That's what ecumenism is. The Methodist bird, the Baptist bird, the Presbyterian bird. They're all kinds. People say the birds of the same feather flock together, and that's not always true. You have the crow and the buzzard and the vultures and the herons and what, the crane come together too, you know, in one cage. You see. So we need to have this message to get to prepare us. So that's the reason why I'm saying. Who are the people that get up and they get away from judgment? I'm a good Methodist, I die now. I'm not prepared. I don't care about this message. I just say I'm a Christian. I'm okay. That's all right, you know what I mean? Do you think I come in the rapture? My friend Peter will say so. I said, well, praise the Lord, if everyone goes to Baptist Church, Lutheran Church, Anglican Church, and say they are Christian, and live the life of Christian as you think it, because there are a lot of people that are very good, and they are good Christian, they live holy life. I have seen the Buddhist priest too. A lot of Buddhist people live good lives too. You tell me they are going to make it into the rapture? Or into eternal life? Do you understand that? So if I don't come out in the rapture, I have to come up here. The rest of the dead don't come out until they come up here. See? Huh? So if I get up in the rapture, that's it. Now, every one of you get up in the rapture. Because you have the message. I'm a Methodist. I also got in the rapture. See, I told you I'll make it one. God is not the specter of person, whether you're Baptist, Anglican, or this. They all go up. You have heard this now of doctrines being taught? Yes. There are so many denominations and group 33,000. Schism and all this. And everybody claims to be right. Something is wrong. And here the Bible says, there's always a little flock. Is that right? You make it. So, when I get up there in the great white church, I found myself in the great white church. So, Lord, am I here? So, what have you been doing? I'm beginning to count my walk. So, I'm a Methodist. You know, Lord, I have a new hospital. I have done a lot of good work, you know. Yeah, that's good. I just give an account of all your work. I don't know. All right. Finish giving an account. The Lord said, now, open the book of life and see whether his name is in there. And you stand out there. You know, it should be in there. Obviously. But what happens if the name is not there? He's just because in the lake of fire. That's a real fact. Because the Bible says, whosoever whose name are found in the book of life, you begin in life. Those whose name were not found, you become in your fire. But everyone will be first judged according to their works. You know? Isn't that right? And what about us? So we will not be judged according to our works. You know, when we stand before the Bema throne of Christ, we'll be judged there to be given a reward. But how is it? How is reward given? Obviously, you have to give account of your life too. Only that you will not be judged for that. Judge whether you are faithful. Remember what Jesus said? If you're faithful in small things, then I can put you to be faithful in bigger things. You cannot be faithful in small things, how can I put you to be judged of something? Right. A lot of people like that. That's why I see a lot of believers, whether they are Christian out there or not, they want to do something big for God. But a small thing they cannot do. If a small thing you cannot do, how do you expect God to give you to be in charge of a big project? Remember what Jesus Christ said? To be in charge of 5 cities, 10 cities, things like that. That is true. So your life here, you think I'm a Christian, okay, I'm going to go to heaven. And there's nothing else you want to do. You know what? You lose your reward. Even as Paul said, you know, the fire will try them. Whether it be gold, silver, or is it wool or stubble or hay, whether it be burned away. If the wool does not burn away, it's remain, then you have a reward. Then all the stubbles are burned, no reward. You will probably mimic to sweep the streets of Singapore. Something like that. Just an expression. You know, so everybody must have a reward according to the work. Do you understand? All right, now let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. Now I want you to look at this verse, which is interesting. Paul said, let me read it in the King James first before I read it in the Greek text anyway. It sounds a bit funny in the King James version. It sounds a bit odd. Paul said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's kind of odd, huh? If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The fact is that everyone must attain a resurrection. You agree with that? Yes, sir. I mean, as long as when you die, you must be resurrected. Everybody must be resurrected. So what is Paul saying? The Greek translation. Okay, it means this. If by any means I might attain to the out-resurrection from among the dead. The out-resurrection from among the dead. Everybody will be resurrected, that is a fact. But Paul is talking here that I might attain to the out-resurrection. Because if you continue to read now, you know, verse 10, that I may know him the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. We all know, right? As even Paul said, the power of resurrection, everybody will be resurrected. I believe in the power of resurrection to raise me from the dead, to give me that life. But Paul is saying that I may attain to the out resurrection, which is the first resurrection, is to get away from the second resurrection. That is what he's talking about. Because in the second resurrection, death has power. If I get into, away from this general resurrection, which is called the second resurrection, okay, if I can get out of that, I know death cannot take my life. You see, in this second resurrection, there are two groups of people, that's for sure. Some are given life, some do not have life. Do you understand that? Okay? Now, go to verse 6 in Revelation 20, verse 6, that we read earlier. It says, blessed and holy is he who had part in the first resurrection. On such a second death have no power. Okay, so it is in the second resurrection that death was ceased life. Alright, John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. So, in this general resurrection, or the second resurrection, John in chapter 5, verse 28 to 29. Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of their nation. So that is the generation, I mean the general resurrection. There are two groups actually. Do you understand that? Okay? Now, again then we ask another question. Who are these people whose name are in the book of life? What is there so special about these people that their name is in the book of life? Maybe he's not a Methodist. So what is this group of people that are given eternal life, whose name is found in the book of life at this great white throne judgment? Now, this is where the doctrine of election comes in. Now you know that you have not chosen God. You have chosen who? That's God's election, huh? God says that you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. You understand what I'm talking about? It just says, what do you mean by going to school? I chose God as my Savior. Oh yeah? Really? Let me give you an example. There's a boy out there in the street who has no father, no mother, is not offering. Right? Begging on the street. You come up to him and say, look at him, you take pity on him and says, I want to be your father. How about that? You chose him, huh? Be a father. I have looked at you. Okay? I accept. So the boy, young man, lived in your house. And you grew up and you raised him up. He called you papa and he called him son. Right? Who chose you? Did he choose you? No. He wasn't looking for you. You chose him. You understand what I'm saying? You chose him and he accepted. When God chose me, I accept. You understand what I'm saying? Did you choose God? No. You accept His salvation He offered you. So the same thing here. Election still stands. The same as we read in the various many places of the Bible. Now we see the man, for example, a man like Cornelius. You know Cornelius, don't you? Yes. He was a Gentile. He lived out there in the coast of the Great Sea, Sicily. He was a Gentile. He was a devout man. He doesn't know the God of Abraham. If he knew the God of Abraham, he would have been proselyte as a, you know, as a Jew. Got himself circumcised and become a Norman to be a part of the Jewish community. But he didn't know the God of Abraham. But he was a devout man who feared God. You know what I mean? But he doesn't know what God. And such a man like this is an example. That God looked upon him, chose him, elected him. You understand? And then he sent Peter to go preach to him the gospel. But back in the days of Peter, in AD, well, 40, 50 BC, AD, in China there are people living already. In India, there are people living already. In Africa, there are people living already. Do you understand? But what happened if there is a man like Cornelius out there in China, out there in India, out there in Africa? Does God know? God knew. Of course He does. Do you understand? God is not mindful of nothing, huh? He's mindful of Israel, yes, but His eye, He can see all over the world. He knows who, and He chose whoever He wants to. So all those that died in China, who have been elected by God, just like Cornelius, though they have not given the gospel, they died. When they stand up there, all they have to do is God open the book of life. If their name is written there, then they have eternal life. That's what election is. Let us go look into the book. Romans 9:11. Romans 9:11. For the children being not yet born, neither have they done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. In other words, what of Him that called it. I like this word now. Okay? Romans 9:11. Read that carefully again. For the children being not yet born, he's talking about Isaac, no? Isaac's children, that is Esau and Jacob. Alright? For the children being not yet born, having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God to, according to election might stand, not the works, but of Him that calleth. Ephesians, Paul said, even before you were born, God had already predestined it. Huh? God has already chosen you even before you were born. Before you do any work. Before even if you come out into the world and start crying or start walking, God already has chosen you. That is what all about election. Salvation has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what I would say. If God started working you, He must finish it. God don't do a job halfway. Do you understand? And God doesn't resign from His job. And ask you to fix it. No, He doesn't. That's what it's all about, my God. Huh? Not about God that needs to be carried about. Huh? You know, those on the altar need to be carried. You don't know, huh? India, a whole lot. India is a lot of God that need to be carried. A lot of China is a lot of God that need to be carried. But we don't have a God that need to be carried. Or in the Philippines, yes, in the Philippines, they even carry their Ninyong이야. 이제 Ninyong이 Ninyong. Yeah, the black Jesus, these are black Jesus, Nazarene, the black one and the red one and all the tiny little ones. They're nothing but a toy. And they carry it. That's not the kind of God that I have. He carries us. We don't carry God. God carries us. Is that right?
Sure.
So, verse chapter 11, verse 2 to 8. Romans chapter 11, verse 2 to 8. God hath not cast away his people. Romans chapter 11, verse 2 to 8. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. He foreknew. Do you understand? Well, you know what the scripture said of Elijah, how he made an intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thy altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what said the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if we are works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel have not obtained that which he seek for, but the election have obtained it. Wonderful. You know, God has elected you. Israel didn't see it. But God blinded them. God gave it to you. We are also in the elect to have it obtained. Do you understand? And the rest were blind. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes they should not see, and ear they should not hear unto this day. And David said, Let your table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. See that? That's true. Election. Psalm 69 and verse 21. They give me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they give me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continue to shake. Pour out thy indignation upon them, and let thy wrath, full anger, take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded, and add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. That's interesting here. Brought out the name from the book of life. What are these people whose name is written there and then be brought out? Well, there are a lot of Christians, so-called, that blaspheme God. People like maybe Hymenaeus in the Bible mentioned, perhaps even Philetus. There are people who were Christian maybe for a few years, later on they reject Christ. This is just only a religion. You ever heard that? Yes. Those whose name has been blocked out of the book of life. Matthew 7:21. This is a verse that we all need to take care of. Be aware of. Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast up devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from you, you that work iniquity. Now this is the group that we see in our preacher today. Right? That's right. Lord, Lord, I've done this. Lord, Lord, I've done that. I've cast up devil in your name. They already did that. But in the end, Jesus said, I never knew you. Why? There's no faith relationship. Huh? You know what is a faith relation? Faith relation means that you know and you trust the Father to do what He is supposed to do for you, and you respond and reciprocate the same love back to Him. It's not something that you want to do for your own personal gain. That's what the Bible calls it, the workers of iniquity. Iniquity means inequality. Just like Abraham, when he told his wife Sarah to lie, that you are my brother. That's iniquity. Because why? When this woman, his wife got married to Pharaoh or to Amalek, what would happen? She commit adultery. He commit adultery. Who caused that? Abraham. That's what the kind of sin that he's got hit the most is the sin of iniquity. And this is what it is. What our preacher preach out there, preach and preach, what they have is for their own gain. But they don't tell the people the truth. And the people stay blind, not knowing what they are believing in. That's what we call workers of iniquity. So it doesn't matter how many blind persons you have opened, how many dead you have raised to life in the name of Jesus Christ, how many are healed in the name of Jesus Christ. If you don't preach the word of God, that's many preachers, they don't do it. Because they don't want to hurt the people. Because they're scared the people run away and they've got no money. And that's what the Bible calls futile lucre, workers, lovers of futile lucre, workers of iniquity. Oh, if you only read this verse and look at it very carefully. Very, very carefully. Alright, these are those whose name will be getting out, blocked out of the book of life. Alright, so, that's why another place Paul said in book of Acts 19:2, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Now, a lot of people say, oh, you believe, repent, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, automatically you get the Holy Ghost. That's not true. Repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you shall receive it. It doesn't mean that you have it. You have to go forward to receive it. That's why the Bible says, be filled with the Holy Ghost. You have to. Alright? Because the only act of belief, people believe, they repent, and they say they are sanctified. Good. There are people that can be sanctified too. You know, Israel is a sanctified people. But they don't have the Holy Ghost. A lot of people say, I'm clean, yes, sure. But have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Those that poor men, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Repent, be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 17. Alright, John chapter 14, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it see him not, neither know him, but you know him, for he dwelt with you, and shall be in you. So a lot of people have the Holy Ghost dwelling around them, but never in them. That's what I'm saying. The Holy Ghost must be in you. People are going to church, the Holy Ghost and all that, they say, I repent and be baptized. The Holy Spirit dwelling around you doesn't mean that he's in you. That's what Jesus Christ said. God said, oh, the kingdom of God is within you. The Spirit of God or the kingdom of God is among you. He's among them. When Jesus Christ preached the gospel. You know. But he told the disciple, not that he only dwell with you, but let him be in you. Yeah. So you want to invite the Holy Spirit into your life. And this is what the Bible wants people to have. Okay, now we try to close it quickly. Now, in the last verse of the Bible, or the last verse of that chapter, and death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, once hell and death is cast into the fire, it doesn't exist anymore. Alright? So, this is a statement that is confirming everything. And after the Great White Throne Judgment is over, time ceases. Eternity begins. Alright? There is no more time here, and this is all set up to judge, and eternity will begin. And you know, once eternity begins, you know what happened? The Bible shows us that the last enemy being put to death is the last enemy, death, is destroyed, and Jesus Christ, the first and only begotten Son of God, will give the kingdom back to the Almighty Spirit and Father. He will subject himself to the Father. And God will be all in all. And Christ will take the headship among all the brethren. And I pray the Lord will bless you as you gain more knowledge and see and understand what His plan is for you and mine. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your truth again. Asking the Father to break down it further to us, O Lord. There are many things that we are learning, and we are grateful, Father, for giving us this knowledge. And may we grow in Christ, O Lord, spiritually. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.